Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. It's a great Friday. One reason, we've got Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer here together with us, and they are great, great minds that help us all transform our lives and heal. Hi, guys. Welcome.
It's glad you're here. To be here with you, too. Love it.
Always good to be here with you guys.
It's also a great day for me because I'm on Focus on the Family talking about the topic of the program is walking through the healing process. And I just hope and pray you'll give a listen to Focus on the Family and hear that. Love getting to be there with Jim Daly and John Fuller. It's just an amazing organization, and Jim Daly running that organization has taken it to a whole new level. But I'll also be on that broadcast on May 5th, and there I'll be talking about how do you help somebody who is depressed, because we're around a lot of people that are depressed in this day and age. And a short, brief reminder that we have a matching fund of almost $500,000, and every dollar that you give releases a dollar from that fund and benefits somebody, so it's really given double when you do it. But right now, I'd like to go to the phones, and why wait? Why don't we just do it? And how about we talk with, let's see, I believe this is right down there at the bottom, Jennifer, Lexington, Kentucky. Let's talk to Jennifer, see how she's doing today. Maybe somebody could click that in. There we go. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Doing all right. How could we help?
Okay. All right, so basically I am trying to decide whether or not to move to help solve my problem. I have two adult sons that have problems with addiction, and so one of them is actually living with me right now because he got evicted from his apartment. Both of them have had that problem. Mm-hmm. And I don't really see him. We have had these discussions, and he doesn't, I don't see him moving, that he's ever going to move out unless I maybe just move myself. And then I have another son that is in jail, and he will do fine for a while, but if really big problems come up, he'll kind of resort back to the meth, which is extremely scary, where he hallucinates and imagines things, and he's had a gun and different things like that. And I just really, want to get away from it, maybe start new. I am alone. I'm divorced, and I'm not really strong enough by myself, I don't think, to deal with this. I thought maybe it'd be easier if I moved, and I don't know if I should just not let them know where I live. I don't know what to do.
Do you want to live somewhere else?
Well, yes and no. Okay, I mean, on one hand, I've really, put a lot of energy into this my home and mm-hmm. Time and money and work. But also, I do see my neighborhood going downhill. Mm-hmm. And so it probably would be a wise thing. So it's kind of a yes and no.
Well,
I guess maybe more of a yes.
We always tell folks, don't move, because when you move, you wake up one morning and there you are with you. Well, I'm afraid if you move, you wake up one morning and they're with you too. They follow you,
yeah,
and expect you to do what they're expecting you to do right now. We'll give you some help for this. I'm glad you called right after this.
Okay.
If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The question we have to ask ourselves, how do we get in these situations? How do we find ourselves in these difficult circumstances with our kids? It's pretty tough. But we've got some answers for you. We'll get to that right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I'll tell you, it is not easy being parents of older kids, especially when they get in trouble. It's not easy to know what to do. But Sherry, you want to get us started here on what would be helpful, what would not be helpful?
So, Jennifer, I'm going to be really honest with you. As I was hearing you, my heart just ached. I just ache for you, girl. It must be...
Thank you.
Yeah, it must be so hard to have both of your boys, struggling with a lifelong addiction.
It makes me feel ashamed because even though I've done my best, you know.
Of course. I think that's what I was touching on. I thought, my gosh, she probably feels like she's a failure. And you're not. You've done the very best you could do. And sometimes there's things that we just don't know, right? And then we don't do things because we don't know we don't know. And that's where I kind of want to go next. First is just my heartache for you. Secondly, you know, just respecting what I think your body is wanting. I think your body is wanting flight. I think it's, you know, there's fight, flight, freeze. And I think because of the weight of it, your legs are telling you, I just need to get out of Dodge. And and so that can happen when we haven't had some training and real learning in healthy boundaries, because it feels like it's pressing in. And this son that just came into your house again and that got evicted, how long has he been home again?
Since last September, late September.
So he's been in the house for a year, and my sense is he's not really doing anything to be responsible for himself.
Right, okay. And if we have any discussions, it turns, you know, kind of ugly. I end up crying, and it doesn't help.
Yeah, it's like you're kind of hostage in your own house. Is he still using?
I don't know for sure.
Okay. Well,
I kind of don't think so, but I'm not positive.
I think he is. Mm-hmm. I think he is. And you know why I think he is? Is because when you're using the brain, it shuts down the prefrontal cortex, which is the executor of our brain. It's the boss of our brain. It's the part of the brain that helps us get up in the morning and go to work and get a job and make good choices, right? And then the other part that it shuts down is the temporal lobes, which are our emotional, it's responsible for emotional stability. So if he's emotionally unstable in any way, he's using something. Have you ever gone to Al-Anon? Have you ever done any type of individual counseling where somebody can help you learn boundaries and how to make your yes become a no?
I haven't went for about a month, but I have a grief counselor that I go to about once every 2 weeks. She tries to help me with it. But I recently went through a divorce, and I've had so many things to do that I haven't went for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of even in the divorce grief right now. This is the deal. If I got to write the script for you today, I would have you find somebody in your area who specializes in addictions. Kind of like if you have, let's just say you had, this would be horrible, but you know, you had cancer somewhere. Let's say it was cancer in your, cancer in your neck. I know that's a weird place, but so you had cancer in your neck. Would you go to a podiatrist in order to help you with that cancer?
No.
Okay. And I love the grief work that you've done, but you really need a specialist in addiction. Chris Williams is like, I love your work that you do with mm-hmm. addiction. I mean, this is kind of your wheelhouse. I feel like I'm here talking and I should just let you take the mic. But I'm excited for him to talk to you because I think he has some direct recommendations. He works in addiction. This is what you do.
Yes. And so to Sherry's point, if you treat it like a cancer because it is, it's life-threatening. And addiction is the brain working against itself in horrific ways. And it is deeply traumatizing, especially for those around him. And so your sons definitely need treatment. And you are not that treatment. You know, just if they had cancer, they couldn't come to you to get the treatment for the cancer. And so you also, however, need treatment because of what Sherry was pointing to. This is deeply traumatic and hurtful and scary. And, you know, it does naturally come up with shame, you know, of like, what did I do wrong? And so there are principles, especially that we learn in programs like Al-Anon or Codependence Anonymous, and it's called the three C's. So I want to launch you today into your own recovery process with the three C's. First and foremost, when it comes to your son's addictions, you did not cause it.
Yeah.
Okay? It is, you know, no matter how bad their childhood is, some people have bad childhoods, don't develop an addiction. Some have good childhoods and develop an addiction. There is neurological or biological processes that can really activate addiction that are beyond one person's cause. The other thing is that you cannot control it. The first step in recovery is to come to this realization of powerless. So if your sons are powerless in their addiction, how much more powerless are you? You can't control this thing going on. And then painfully, the last one is you can't cure it. And so they need help. Yeah. And so what I want you to be able to do is continue the grieving process of letting them go and being firm with them and saying that I will do anything to help you get help. That's not me. That's not my home. But I will do nothing that keeps you in your addiction, that in this life-threatening situation. And for myself, I'm going to go get support. I'm going to see an addiction specialist. I'm going to go to Al-Anon. And I'm going to start my own recovery process. And like you said, because you don't have strength, but like the addicted person, they don't have strength either. They find it in the group. They find it in the program. And they find that collectively God's power increases through other people as well. And through those people and the fellowship and the process itself.
So then what that even looks like, let's say you decide to move. Well, these newfound relationships in Al-Anon may be the very people that come to help you, right? Or you are feeling kind of held hostage in your home with your son right now, right? He gets mad. It makes you cry. Mm-hmm. They may have someone right in the area that's an interventionist that can come and help you get your son to another place. It is a whole world of support. And I love that Chris made that suggestion, because you can do that today. Yeah. Even when we get off the phone, you can go online and find an Al-Anon. And a lot of times right now, it's COVID in some area. I mean, because of COVID, they're still virtual.
Yeah.
Or it could be face-to-face. It depends on where you are.
All right. I'm glad that you called. And I hope something we've said has been helpful to you. And I want to send you a Life Recovery Bible, because I'm wanting you to work the steps for yourself. As Sherry said, get in that Al-Anon group, and I think you can experience some freedom and some a life that you never dreamed you had, because it can get all good from here. Let's go to Joy. Let's talk with her. Joy, how are you today? What's going on in your life?
Hi there. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yep. Glad you're with us here.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm so excited and nervous to talk to you guys. I've been listening for about 6 months, and I really feel like I have come to trust you, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I feel like I have a simple question that maybe this doesn't feel simple to me, but my husband has agreed to go to Everyman's Battle, and he is all signed up and willing and everything, and I just want to know if you guys have any advice on how to best support and encourage him before and after that. I can tell he's agitated, and I know he's doing it for me. And we have a very, I would say we have a very strong marriage, and we communicate a lot, and we've communicated a lot about this.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that he's going, but about, you know, the issue. And he looks at porn. It's very occasional, to my understanding. I wouldn't say that it's like, I mean, obviously it's bad, but it's not like an everyday situation or something like that. And I know he's just afraid that maybe this won't work, and he's mm-hmm. tried other things, and it's kind of like, you know. And I don't know how to be the best support for him without also not being like too nosy or too like suffocating about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to say this. The less you do now to rock the boat, the better. And the more you do okay. right now, just to get him there, to let him choose to be there and be there, the better it's going to be. I see a lot of times the person will agree to go to something, and then once they've agreed, the person that wanted them to go kind of ups the pressure and starts dealing with stuff, and then it just creates needless stress and needless conflict. Just let the workshop do its job mm-hmm. there. So, Chris, she needs to know what to do now, what to do after. Any insight here?
This may sound counterintuitive, and so glad you called in, especially with Sherry here today. But, Joy, the best thing that you can do for your husband is not what you do for him, it's what you do for yourself. Because this has been a painful experience for you. And part of the shame that he's experiencing is you're trying to protect him from that. And I just want to prep you for something. I'm not saying that this is the case, but if he's showing agitation right now, what that most likely looks like is what we call the withdrawal process. People think of withdrawal in terms of drug addiction, but I'm telling you, and I'll go to the mats with anyone on this. The withdrawal process from sexual addiction and pornography is just as troubling and typically lasts longer. And what it looks like is increased anxiety, depression, and most definitively agitation. And the reason why is because pornography is an emotional medicator. And when you lose that medication, then you have to deal with your emotions, but they're all over the place. It's what we call dysregulation, and yeah. it just comes out as really moody and irritable. And so that indication tells me that most likely it's more than just occasional.
Okay.
So I just want you to be aware of that, and again, get the help you need. And with that, I'm going to get you to the person that can help you, that has this expertise, is the best person I know to help you. And Sherry, what do you think?
Okay. Well, I don't know about that, Chris. I'm wondering about you, Joy. It's so funny because your name is a beautiful name, and I'm sure your Thank name you. Was given to you with every ounce that it was tended to be. But sometimes when we're wanting to be in this joyful place and we're really kind of in this hard place, it's hard
yeah.
to know what to do with the downside. It's hard to know what to do with his struggle. And that's kind of what I hear. It almost makes me feel like you feel, now that you've encouraged him to go and he said yes, good for him. I'd high-five him myself if I could see him, right? But it feels yeah. like you're now feeling guilty that he's going on your, because you asked him and because he's agitated. So his emotions, actually, if they're not positive, then you somehow feel responsible, like you've done something wrong. And then you go into wanting to smooth everything out so that we can go
yeah,
back to joy.
That's actually very true.
Yeah. And it's really because anxiety comes from fear around having feelings that aren't good, aren't happy, that might be sad, that might be scared, that might be upset, that might be hurt. And if we can learn how to handle our feelings and be honest with them, it actually, I sometimes tell people, I say, okay, I'm going to help you get some feelings. We're going to get, you might cry, you might, and then I'm like, you're going to find out once you have them, you haven't lost an arm, you haven't lost a leg, you're going to live. You're just going to feel.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Come right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and we are talking with Joy. Joy, I just want to say one other thing before we let you go, and that is this. Don't fall into a trap of where he says, you know, right before he's going, you know, I'm just going for you. If he says that, don't say, oh, you need to go for you. You just say, okay, thank you for going.
Yeah.
Because it's our job, once he gets there, to have something so worthwhile and meaningful that all of a sudden he's not there for you. He's there for himself. But a lot of folks give up on them going when they go, I'm just going for you. Well, that's fine. Just go.
We just need to make this clear, especially with Jennifer and Joy, who have called in today, is that when it comes to somebody else's addiction, you are not responsible. You're not responsible either for their addiction or their recovery. But you are responsible to yourself to tell the truth.
And one last thing is sometimes when all this is happening, we do what I did for 4 years, is I just put my hands over my eyes and I went into denial. I figured if I didn't look at it, all of a sudden I got a sense of power. And you know what? Denial and minimizing is easy to do when we don't want to face what our husbands are facing, is having to really look at this issue that they've gotten hooked into. So he'll be in good hands, and it's going to be good to have him go.
Yeah.
It's always tricky.
Thank you, guys.
And we're glad that you called. And I'm going to send you Worthy of Her Trust. And that'll be a great book. You'll know exactly what to do when he comes home. Let's go to Charles, Casa Grande, Arizona. And Charles, how you doing today?
I'm okay. Thank you for taking my call. And I do want to comment that I've been listening to you guys for a long time. Mm-hmm. Wonderful organization, and I feel kind of guilty that I haven't contributed over the years, but just so many needs out there, and you try to give to who you can, but anyways, I'm going to try to make an effort to help you guys, especially with your matching thing, but anyways, yeah, it's really that what a need there is for your organization right now, but or maybe for many years, but regardless, I wake up sometimes, I just wake up like feeling really sad, and it's a deep pain, and I can't get rid of it sometimes, and I think it's always there, it's just I try to mask it, like, okay, forget it, you know, like push it into the back, and then just, you know, I'm really thankful for my life. I mean, it could be a lot worse. Mm-hmm. But then I feel guilty about that too, so then that causes me pain, you know, so I don't know what to do. It's like I'm lost. I'm kind of like a Humpty Dumpty, you know, and that's what I feel like, and I can't be put back together again, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've sought help.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just nothing seems to work.
Well, let me turn this over to Sherry. She's good at probing and exploring and trying to figure something, make sense of some things. What do you think, Sherry? What, take us from here.
Well, Charles, I love how you're starting off with us, and completely hear you as far as the sadness that has become an unwelcome bedfellow, but one that you can't seem to shake. And the first place that I wonder about, and this is even in bringing up this idea of Humpty Dumpty, you know, when do kids first discover the Humpty Dumpty story? When do they first find that?
Probably when they're very young.
Yeah.
3-4 years old, maybe.
So something broke when you were really young. Might even have been around the time that you would have found that nursery rhyme. What happened? growing up that made you so very sad as a little boy? Can you float back to that?
I don't know. I have a half brother, and he has a different outlook on growing up than I do. He has a like a hostile view, and I have a very happy, I think we were taken care of very well.
So tell me a little bit, when you say half brother, so what that says to me is that there was some kind of a leaving. Like, was there a divorce? Tell me a little bit about what happened.
Well, my mother divorced my father when I was young.
Okay.
I was like 18 months old,
something like that. My goodness.
And then she remarried my half-brother's dad.
Okay.
And, you know, gave birth to him. And then she had a daughter after that. So I have a half-sister, too. But his view is that my mother was very mean and, you know, like, not nice to us. And I never saw that as young. Now, as an adult, when I was about 25 years old, my mother had a stroke. And it was a really bad stroke. It took out one of the main arteries in her brain, and so she just recently had a bad stroke, and now she's in a nursing home. And I found out from the doctors, I never knew this, but part of that meanness that came out of her, like when I was 25, I was talking to the doctors, and they say that she don't even know she's doing it. She'll make up stories and tell stories. And you guys need to go to break.
Well, actually, no, because you're worth it. We are going to go to break, but let me just say this. It's weird how we can have wounds that happen when we're 18 months old that can make us want to cry that we don't even really remember.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of tears in there, my friend. There's a bunch of tears, and we want to help you find them.
Yeah. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Sherry Kipper has one other thing here to share with you, Charles. Sherry?
So, Charles, during the break, you know what I did? I really, you know, we talked about Joy's name, right? I really believe a lot in our names, and I looked up your name during the break. Do you know what your name means?
Yeah, manly.
Well, yeah, manly. And in addition to that, it's free man. Free man. That was a definition I looked up. And so that's what I said. I said, this is wow. Your body is telling you that there is some sadness that can be addressed. And kind of like when you were a kid at 18, you didn't even have words to talk about your sadness. And then when your mom remarried, you know, it's really easy for us to look back and kind of restory our life back on how we might see it now. But there was a little guy that had his birth father leave. And then there was a little guy that had a new man come into his life. And then there was a little guy that had a new brother and a new sister. And all that, there was some loss around that. I can promise you this, you won't be able to put that sad back in a box. It's actually popping out because it's saying, hey, hey, free man, hey, free man, I want you free.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get freedom by going through what you need to go to heal. Like, this is why I do something called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's a deep trauma treatment that helps people who are stuck with these emotions help to get them out. What are your thoughts, Chris?
You're on the freedom trail right now, and your emotions are leading you. And that is such a gift, because Charles, you're attuned to what you're feeling. Your body is showing you. And so one of the mistakes that we make, as we talked about it in a previous show, is aversion, meaning I'm just going to try to push my feelings away. But what you're saying is like, no, the what I'm feeling right now is important. And instead of pushing it away, as Sherry said, I'm going to work with a professional who can guide me into going through them, not trying to just get rid of them. Because in that sadness and in that grief, what we learn is that it leads to other clues, other things along the trail that need healed out. And what we ultimately learn is that our feelings are a feedback mechanism. If we think about it like a dashboard, sadness points to loss, anger points to injustice, part of loss, but anxiety points to a worry or a threat. And all of these things help point us to what we're experiencing in life to eventually know how to feel and deal. And when we can deal with life, we're no longer afraid of it.
All right. Hope that's helpful to you. And let me send you a copy of Every Man's Bible. Going to help you. I hope it will help you get into God's Word and meditate on it and give you some great, great devotional material and study material that's going to come your way. Right now, Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, let's talk about the matching gift that we've been given and our desire to use every bit of it.
Well, I got to thinking, you know, we have a $459,000 matching gift. The deadline is May 31 to get it matched. That's a huge challenge. But God's bigger than that. So I'm counting, and the way God works is through people. And I'm counting on the people hearing my voice, and those will email to and call on the phone to be responsive to it. But I got to thinking, it's $459,000, but I know there's been probably $15,000, maybe $20,000 given this week. And so we're going to start calling it a different size gift each week as we go. So it sounds
idea.
A little less insurmountable, so to speak.
Well, and we don't want people to think that a $30 gift is insignificant.
Absolutely.
It is very significant.
Thank
because
you.
It's $60. Yes. Every dollar is doubled.
I love what Charles said. Charles, like, hey, you know, I love this ministry. I listen all the time. I've been listening for a long time. I haven't given, but I'm thinking right now, because there's this matching gift, I'm gonna send something your way. And now that's really what happens, is just, it's that one bit that you're going to put in.
Holy Spirit nudge.
I know.
Let me read you three things quickly. Charlotte wrote, and she made a gift. She said, I give to help you help others as you have helped me with your wisdom, counsel, truth, and hopeful encouragement, even your laughter. Keep on doing what you're doing. I'm thankful. You've taught me so much. And then Giuseppe wrote, I haven't given in a year because I've been out of work for over a year. Thanking God I now have work. It doesn't pay as much. As I make more money, I'll send more. I believe in what you're doing.
Aww.
And then the last one was, I can't pronounce her name, so I'll leave it at that. I was sitting here paying my bills and listening to New Life. I was going to stop giving to New Life this month, but then Larry was reading a letter. So here I am. Be blessed as you bless others.
So. You know, it's so humbling that folks give to this ministry, and they want other people to hear the radio program, and we never take it for granted. It's just astounding to us, and thank you so much for those that support. And if you want to support us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, we will send you Creatures of Habit. When you join Club New Life right now, we will send you the Arterburn Wellness Series, and it is a big one. It's like a little library on understanding and loving a person with depression, attention deficit disorder, every one of these is a different book, borderline personality disorder, alcohol and drug addiction, post-traumatic stress, sexual addiction, bipolar, and narcissistic personality disorder, which is the bestseller of the group. And we'll send that to you, our way of saying thanks for joining Club New Life, $30 a month. Anything else you want to say, Larry?
Just a great big thank you to everybody who's supporting us financially. It makes a difference in a lot of lives.
All right. I thought you were going to mention how great it is working with me, but that's fine. So we do want to thank all of you for what you do for us. We really, really do appreciate all that you give. We know that it's not easy for many of you to give anything. Let's go to Michelle. Michelle is calling from, I believe, well, wait, you know what? Yeah. Didn't we just talk to Michelle or not? No.
No, huh?
Let's go to Michelle, Pensacola, Florida. Hi, Michelle. How are you today?
Yeah, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and wanted to know, pretty much, she has been talking.
Hey, Michelle, could you just talk into your mic a little closer, because it's muffled, and I want to make sure we hear you.
Oh, okay, sorry, I was trying to hold it away a little bit.
No, we love that. We can hear you now.
Okay.
All right.
Let me know, too, because I have it on speakerphone. It might sound better if I turn it off.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah. Can you hear me better now?
Is that better? That's perfect. Yep, a lot better.
Okay. My daughter's 16, and she's been talking with this young man, same age. But bottom line, I feel like he's just not healthy for her, and certain signs I've been seeing, and she has too, and it's hard as a parent to see your child, sad, so on and so forth, and you want to step in. And my question is, where is that boundary for me where I don't push her away because she and I have a very close relationship, but I don't want to overstep and push her away or make her angry. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much, that's it. They're not in a serious relationship, but at the same time, her feelings are serious and real, I've been around him. He's, taking him to lunch, dinner, gone with us different places, and just different things. He's a nice kid, but at the same time, there's just things that I don't see that are healthy signs for her.
What are those things?
Disrespect.
Okay, like, what do you mean?
Small
respect?
Things, maybe even like, okay. I'm trying to think of certain things. Well, let's just say, okay, kids do TikTok, that app TikTok, and Instagram and so forth. And he has one, and there's one that he would not allow her to get on. He didn't want her to see, so. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like he's trying to hide something. But, okay, this is going to sound really silly, but we were in Walmart the other day, and he was kind of, like, disrespecting this child, like, get out of my way. And then in the kids section where there's toys, he went and got a ball out of the thing, and this is not directed towards her or anything. But, and he's, like, throwing it up in the air on the shelves. That's just something very, offhand, not that he's doing that towards her. But
when you say disrespecting a child, was he cruel, mean to the child? What was that?
Just verbally, so annoying, get out of my way, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the kid really didn't hear him, but I did, And it's just, I don't know. I'm seeing these small little things.
All right, we're gonna help you when we come back. We're going to help you and her when we come back. And I think we've got some good wisdom for you here. You're listening to New Life Live. Glad that you are.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. And Chris, you want to continue here because I think you've got something really good to say to Michelle.
Well, let me start here, actually. I was once an immature punk 16-year-old kid. And I really do mean that. Like, I really do mean that in the sense that, you know, whether it be trying to prove myself or working out my insecurities in these really weird and sideways. But what really I think would be important, and this happened to me a couple of times, and at the time it hurt, but I look back and say, man, what a gift. And that is when people called out my unsavory behavior. Mm-hmm. And especially when peers did that, and peers that I respected. And
right.
And now, so I'm speaking from his point of view, but what I would love for your daughter to be able to do at 16 years old is find her relational voice, find her truth, to say
right.
that when you did this, I didn't like it. And I also think as a mom and as an adult, you're like, hey, I can tell you don't want to nitpick the poor kid, but you're picking
exactly.
up. Yes, but you're picking up a pattern, and that motherly instinct comes in and says, hey, man, there's some danger signs here. There's some red flags. And so.
Yeah, and there are other things.
Yeah, and I think being able to have an open conversation with your daughter about what your concerns are, and then finding ways to empower her in her voice. Because most definitively, if he's okay treating a random child like that, he'll be okay treating anyone like that.
Right.
That's right. And one of the great little mottos, one of the things to keep in mind is this little saying of be curious, not furious. You want to ask her, you know, why is it that you didn't say, okay, yeah, but you have to give me access to that TikTok thing. I know you don't want me to see it, but why? And what's there? Let's look at it so we can discover if we even need to continue the relationship. That's the kind of strength that you want to have there. There
right.
was something else you wanted to say?
No, I was just, you know, she and I do talk, and, you know, certain things that he has done, it's, oh, Mom, you know, that's just, you know, the way he is. She just, she excuses it.
Yeah.
And it worries me because I do tell her I want her to be able to love herself first and be confident in who she is enough to say, you know, this, I don't agree with this. And when she's okay to say, I don't agree with this, be okay for someone to say, well, I don't like that you said that and I'm walking away. Don't be afraid to say it because you're afraid they're going to walk away from
mm-hmm.
you.
Right.
Does that
That's
make sense?
Good. Yep, sure does.
I'm worried she's going to do that. And I don't want her, I want her to be, you know that she is, you know, or I want her to be strong enough to say, this is who I am, this is what I believe, and this is what I won't put up with. And I'm talking about like future. I know that, like he said, there are, you know, we're all young, we do silly things and so on and so forth. But, you know, I just want, that I want to be able to, you know, we've spoke about that, but it's easier said than done, especially with girls or young boys, you know, they know what to do, or, you know, or we know what to do in a sense, but it's like, okay, I know the right thing to do, just want to be strong enough to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'm to be able to feel strong enough in herself.
Yeah. I wish I had more time. I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids. I want to get to one quick final caller here, and that's going to be Monica from Pomona. Hi, Monica. I don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call. How could we help you today?
Hi. I'm glad you're able to take my call so quickly. Someone came to me with news, and it was I don't know how to guide her or what resources to give her, but her husband, who she separated with, has been accused of child molestation,
mm-hmm.
and it was reported and everything. And before that, he had already cheated on her with a homeless person, but she didn't leave him. The thing is, she slept with him, and she's now pregnant, and
yeah.
she feels ashamed because she's going to hurt her family members, and her daughter knows about this, the whole thing, so she's only 12 years old, so what can I tell her? Because her solution to this is getting an abortion. She thinks this will teach her a lesson.
Well, hold on a second.
Again, because of that.
Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
We need to suffer the consequences, not have someone that is alive and a life be terminated so someone will suffer consequences. The best thing you can do is ask her to go with you to a pregnancy center and have a sonogram and let her see the baby and the heart beating inside of her. That is the best thing that can happen to prevent that abortion. And I would fight for that baby. I would tell her, this is not the solution. This is not the answer. This will cause so much pain for you. As you get out of this situation and get on with your life, it will become your biggest regret. You must not do this.
Yeah, and she did already hear the heartbeat. That's the worst part of it. She did, and
did she go and see the baby on a sonogram?
Not on a sonogram, just heard the heartbeat.
Okay, when they see the little baby in the womb, about 90% of the mothers that are abortion-minded decide, I'm not going to do it. So that's what I would be. I'd say to her, well, you've heard the heartbeat. I think before you do this, you need to see who you're going to terminate here. You need to see this. Okay. It's your child. Chris, you have a thought here?
Okay.
My only thought is that your friend needs help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she needs to get into her own work. She is going back to very, very dangerous, unhealthy relationships. And we definitely want her to carry this child to term. And, you know, we've talked extensively on this program before about the benefits and experiences of adoption. There's a lot of solutions here.
There you go. That's always an option.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's so interesting, and I just say this, my dear, thank you for being such a loyal friend. Thank you for fighting for her heart. Thank you for listening to her. The women that I've done trauma work with that made decisions like your dear little friend to terminate, you know, to abort, they have no idea of how they're going to feel after they do it. They think this, I don't want to be where I'm at right now. I don't want this. So I'm going to do this because then I'll be at a better place. I'll feel better. Right? I don't like my life right now. So I'm going to make this decision. So I'm going to be at a better place. But really what happens, and anyone that's listening, I love your hearts. I know if you have had an abortion, there is so much hurt and emotional issues and shame. If she thinks she's got shame now, there's more that comes. And so just for her to realize it's not the best plan for her long term either.
Yeah. I'm really glad you called, and I just appreciate you fighting for her. It's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Don't give up fighting for her. I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope that would be great. I'll send you Take Your Life Back also. But we got to fight for these babies that don't have a voice. They can't fight for themselves. And I'm glad that you're in this woman's life. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We would love to help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the phone number. If you can support us, it's that same number, and we'll send you Creatures of Habit. That is the book by Steve Poe. Really a great book about lust, anger, workaholism, all these other kinds of things. Our way of saying thanks. And thank you, Chris and Sherry. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, support, pray for us. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.